All right, should be live any second.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. I got another ad. This is crazy, man. I'm out of ads YouTube runs.
Dude, the...
Oh, YouTube's running ads.
YouTube, I get ads all the time, man. I'm not a subscriber. All
right, we are live. Hello, everyone. It's Dylan from Yu-Gi-Oh! Everything, and welcome back to another episode of Talking Yu-Gi-Oh! The Chronicles podcast. This is episode 4. She's got that Dogmatica in her, and we are going to be breaking down the 4th episode of the Chronicles anime and the 2nd episode of 6 of the Story of White, the Dogmatica, Branded, Tri-Brigade, all that good stuff. And I am joined by a wonderful cast of people here, the Jersey Boys, fully back, which is freaking awesome. We've got Dredge, we've got Cal, we've got Pete, we've got Nick T. Nick T, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing fantastic, brother.
Good, good. Happy to hear it. Pete, how you doing, man?
Well, man, how are you?
I'm doing good. Caliber, how are you doing?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Glad to be here.
Good. And Dredge, last but not least, how you doing?
We're living the dream.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Dredge is ready to, he got a big smile. He's ready to talk Chronicles, and, oh, yeah. And so am okay. I. And it's going to be a good one. I mean, it's going to be a good one. We've got a lot to go over. Well, a lot in the sense of like a lot regarding the Chronicles, not really a crazy amount because the episode is all, you know, it is what it is time wise, but we're going to do our best to kind of give our thoughts, break everything down. I want to thank everybody who donated and or super chatted on the last episode of the Chronicles, which was back on June 24th. A huge thank you to Sean Gilbride, Ice Aiden, Axel Hero, Colin Cleaves, Electric Kevin, Dark Emperor Jay, and Mustache Lawyer. Huge thank you to all of you guys. And if you do want to donate to support the channel and the podcast, there's never any pressure to or expectations to, but there's two ways: the YouTube super chat function or the link in the description. The link, a much larger portion does come directly to me and directly to the channel. It's like 95% versus 60%. But if you choose to support in any way, it is super appreciated. And whatever way you're comfortable with is, of course, totally, totally fine. I'm just happy you're here. I'm happy you're tuning in, watching live, wherever you are in this beautiful world. And yeah, we've got an episode to break down. Do any of you boys want to kind of start us off here, episode 4?
My man, I can't start. You said boys. Sorry.
Do any of you?
Oh my God.
Do any of you men want to start us off here?
I'm good, thank you.
You know, Dill, as much as I would love to start, I think the rules state that you should go first.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I can certainly go. Which is fine.
Do you not want to go first?
No. I'll go first. I didn't realize we had rules or anything. But
written in the bylaws.
I didn't say it was a rule. I'm just not a boy. That's all. I'm saying.
It's also like an age old tradition for you to offer us to be like, yeah, why don't you start us off?
Yeah.
And then you and then the addition of the tradition has been you like, oh, well, I guess I'll start us off.
Yeah.
Like, well, not expecting it all.
You know, sometimes when I do that, somebody who wants to go will go. Most of the times, it's not the case. Very early on, this is kind of an insider trade secret back in the 2019-2020 days, when it was me, you know, Nick T, Pete, and Cal. I would say I'm going to, you know, kind of like offer to you guys, but I actually have an opening monologue. So then pass it back to me. So that I'm sure the three of you remember that. That's kind of how we always started. So then it really, like, by Sevens and Go Rush, I was kind of like, all right, if you guys want to open, you can open. I don't have some ridiculous monologue for every episode. Yep. It's just not a thing anymore. But now it's just gotten to the point where more times than not, you guys will be like, ah, why don't you start us off? So
yeah, why don't you start?
Yeah, a little bit of an insider trade secret.
Thank
there,
you
funny
for
enough.
The
but
donut.
Yeah, I've got no problem starting, and I'm very, very kind of happy to start. You know, I don't have too much more to say. Like, I did my initial reaction after episode 4 on Friday or Saturday, I believe the video went up. I think it's actually the last time we've uploaded a video on the channel. And yeah, I am now convinced that this is a team that knows how to write a story. that this is a team that knows what they're doing when it comes to a storytelling perspective. I think what we got in the episode was really good. A couple of things I want to point out that I noted in the review. I really like that, unlike the Sky Striker one, they're giving us the names of these characters and groups without having some sort of narrator saying, which I thought actually could have worked, saying, oh, Tri Brigade Nerval, a sneaky monster that's vital to the Tri Brigade. You know, we're getting that through character interactions, whether it's, the pink haired girl, Ferret. I can never remember her name, but it's close enough. It's like F-E-J something, where she's like calling Nerval by his name, or when that big ruffian kind of like grabs her so that she's not caught by the Dogmatica army. You know, she addresses him by name. And when the Tri Brigade shows up, you hear the Dogmatica group go, oh, the Tri Brigades are here. When Shirag and Flirtus are like fighting in the air, you know, they have interaction with each other. And that sets the stage of like, okay, these characters have fought before. They've interacted before. They are aware of who one another are. And they have to be on similar power levels because none of them have won any previous fights. Because you imagine if one of them had won a fight, the other one would not be alive anymore. So loved that. I think where this studio still excels is its fighting sequencing. I think the animation during the fight scenes are really, really good. I loved the classic trope of the masks breaking with the two kind of heroes. And, you know, for me, it's always just kind of been like, oh, it makes them feel more like human, right? When the masks are off and they're still fighting. And, you know, I really, really loved that. So, yeah, all in all, it was a really, really good episode. I think it was my favorite episode. But, you know, with this whole production, the huge but is it still is only once every 4 to 5 weeks, and it's still only 5 minutes long. And I think, unfortunately for me, unless the episodes become more frequent or the episodes get significantly more length, I'm not talking 7 or 8 minutes, I'm talking like 13, 15 minutes, significantly more length, I think it's going to be just a hard production for me to feel really excited about on a week-to-week basis. You know, it's just one of those things where like, hey, when it drops, let's watch it. Awesome. That was a fun 5 minutes. And then you just kind of forget about it for a month. And like, there's more potential than that. This whole lore anime has more potential to be something greater than that. But unfortunately, even now that we're having these back-to-back really good episodes, in my opinion, that it is what it is. That's going to always kind of be the case for me. You know, it's not like it's July 30th right now, and it's hard for me to get really excited about episode 5. Like, sure, it's something that when it drops, like, it'll be cool. And maybe when it's a couple days out, I'll be like, oh, yeah, like, it's going to be fun. But it's going to be, like, a long wait. And it's a long wait for what feels like a quarter of a regular anime episode. And so, you know, I know this is kind of crazy coming from me, but I think if you can hold off watching this until like the end of November when all 6 episodes are out, and then like watch them back to back to back to back in like a 30-minute, you know, period, so it feels like a full length OVA or a full length episode, I think that's going to be kind of the best way to enjoy this production, unless one of those two factors change, the episode length or the frequency of uploading. But, you know, all in all, it was certainly an enjoyable episode, but right as my body, right, and right as my mind is getting into it and really getting emotionally enveloped, the episode ends. And like, that's the part that's tough, because not because it's bad, but because it can be so much more if it was just a different level of rollout. And I think that's still where my frustration is overall. And I kind of just come to face the facts that like that, I don't think for me is going to change, no matter how good these episodes are. But, you know, that's just my opinion on it. I mean, I would love to know your guys' thoughts. Pete, it has been a while since you've joined us here, so very, very happy to have you back. I know things have been busy for you. I'd love to know your thoughts on this last episode and just kind of the Chronicles as a whole, now that we are not only 4 episodes in, but we are like almost at a length of one episode. I mean, all the Chronicles we've gotten basically totals like 18 minutes, which is the length of one standard anime episode. So, you know, it's like breadcrumbs here. But Pete, would love to know your thoughts on episode 4.
Yeah, I thought it was the best episode. I agree with you there. I guess I kind of second. There's nothing else I can add in terms of the overall, I guess, the hype for the Chronicles, mm-hmm. because I'm just used to what it is. It's every 4 or 5 weeks, like you said. It's these little. I mean, I'm glad. I guess it's crazy to say I'm glad we're getting 5 or 6 minutes as opposed to 2.5 to 3. I guess that's something. They definitely are doing a way better job, and you've seen it here in this episode. I like how they introduce the characters, but I like the meaning behind it. And I, you know, there's a lot of tropes in there, right? Of like someone's injured, and of course, this character that doesn't really know them is coming in to protect them, even though they don't know anything about them, don't know about this miraculous transformation that a character does at the end. But you see this kind of religious struggle of people that are very for one side. They're called zealots in this episode. And then you have kind of this like rebel group. And I agree with you, I do feel that history there of these characters have met, they have fought, there has been losses you feel on each side. And I thought the most interesting thing was, and I had a feeling it was going to happen, when she's there and she's like kind of protecting his body. I knew that like one soldier guy, I don't know if we got that like commander's name, but I was like, he's totally has some way to control her.
Right.
And he
right.
did. So yeah. I think that adds a little bit of depth to what is her purpose in this kind of royalish kind of family here. How does that factor in? Is she just a weapon? I'm fascinated to see that stuff. I wish this was – I think an episode like this really makes this – for me, like, I'm like, man, I wish this was like a full-length weekly 100%. Thing. I think there's so much awesome stuff here. The action, the depth you could have of the storytelling. But I – just accepted what it is, and I guess we're in waiting like everyone else for Jump Festa.
I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. For me, and I kind of agree with everything you just said there, it's almost more frustrating when the episode qualities get like good. Like during the first two Sky Striker episodes, it was like, all right, well, this who knows what the hell is going on here. It just feels like they're not, like, it's a promotion for Master Duel and they're not actually trying to tell a lore story. But these last two episodes have much more felt like what the bar should have been, for bare minimum, even exceeding that bar. And now that we're there, and now that they've proven to me, at least in these last two episodes, that they're capable of doing something like this, it's increasingly more frustrating that this is the format we're getting. 5 minutes, if that, once a month. And like, we don't even know when these episodes are coming out until like a few days before. And that's just like... It's just more frustrating when the quality is there, because it's like, damn, this really does deserve to be like a full length anime, and it just isn't, which sucks. I totally agree with that there.
I think it's also frustrating too, of like, you know, we know we're getting Albaz through November, and if these episodes keep ramping more and more up in our eyes and they're getting better and better, what if this is it, right? Like, what if it does this little run of Albaz, it ends in November, and then that's it from the Chronicles? And
yeah,
I think that part is also equally frustrating, because, I mean, I don't personally know the lore, but from what people say in the chat, around the community, is it's very deep. There's a lot of stuff there that you could mine for years.
Yes.
So
yes.
I think that if they at least said, hey, we're doing this for the foreseeable future, I'd be more okay and on board with that. I think just that unknown, that really gives me fear of like, man, like, we're not getting anything and we're not going to get this by the end of November. It's like, that is a little frustrating.
No, it's well said. And I've seen people that say they believe the Chronicles is going to go for another 10, 15 years, right? That it's just never going to end. And there's certainly enough lore where it wouldn't end, especially at this level of output, 5 minutes a month. They could roll with that for 50 years, no problem. But, like, I think it's funny when people say that, because in my mind, I'm like, well, we don't know what's coming after November. Like, they haven't confirmed that there's anything after November. I think there will be. I do not think the Chronicles is going to last, like, 5, 10, 15 years. I think it's going to last maybe 3 or 4 years. But, you know, we don't even know what's coming after November. And you blink and it's August. So, like, that's not too far away. And just with the whole setting of Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime fans... you know, the picture that we've had to go through this year, which has been a brutal, brutal year. I just don't feel confident that, like, we're definitely 100% getting anything beyond November. And then if this ends, it's like, Jesus, there's really nothing. Then Jump Festa really becomes already more amplified, which is hard to envision because of already how much pressure is on Jump Festa. But yeah, just absolutely crazy. Nick T, I'm going to throw it down to you. Just your overall thoughts on the Chronicles here, man.
Well, this one, like, overall, given, like, the four episodes, or just this one specifically?
I'm sorry, on episode four. My apologies.
It's okay. No, I actually really liked it. I have been pretty harsh on these as a whole, given, you know, the content and the context of, like, what it is and the duration, you know. But, yeah, like you guys said, like, this one proved to me that they can tell a somewhat compelling story and give us, like, in world build and whatever else they need to do, give us, you know, visuals all in, like, a, you know, basically 5 minute span. It's just like, and I don't really even have an issue with the runtime. I think I just need it to be more frequent. If it was 5 minutes once a week, I could be okay with that.
Agreed. By the way, that's what Pokemon, I think, Generations did, 16 episodes, only 4 or 5 minutes, but it was once a week. And that's right. Okay. That's why one of those two things, Nick T, has to change for me to really get very invested in the product.
Yeah, definitely. Like you could tell a really good sort of zoomed in, you know, portion of a story in 5 minutes, but I can't just, like, wait potentially a month and to see what the next part is. Like, I'm going to forget, you know, or I'm gonna not care. But that being said, I think everything about this episode was really done. Like, even just a little bit of dialogue gave us, like, not full context. Like, I don't know the cards that well or at all, really.
Right.
But I was sort of peeked into their world. Like, I have names, mm-hmm. I have factions. I have, you know, there's a very clear dividing line between the two factions here. And like you said, like, it's very evident that these groups have run into, have had run-ins together. These characters specifically have had run-ins with each other and have lived to tell the tale. So there's a very, like, established connection between the individuals in these groups. And they were able to tell that story in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I really liked that. So I think there's a lot of good here, especially after the past three. So I would just like to see that more frequently.
Yeah, I think that's very well said. Calibro, I'll throw it up to you, man. How are you feeling with episode four here, episode
Thank
two of Brandon?
Thank you for the no-no.
So I think in agreement with you guys that this was the best one so far. I think the increase in the dialogue, the action was good, which seems to be their strength, I think, is these action scene animations. I feel like,
yeah,
even in the first couple episodes where we were like, dude, like, is this even going to last for us? Like, what is this kind of thing? Everyone was really worried. We were all like, yeah, but the animation in the back and forth was kind of cool. It was like, we have that, you know? So I do think that, I do think this is the storytelling, as you also said, has become a lot better. But as a whole, I'm kind of in the same boat as Nick T. I think you can get away with 5 to 6 minutes if you're doing it every week. If you're doing it every month, you got to give at least like a full episode, like a 30 minute, like something, because like Nick T said, I forget, like I could watch this the day it releases and say it releases on like Thursday and then come today and the following week, I wouldn't even really like remember everything that happened because it's such a small little like highlight reel, you know, it's a quick 4.5 to 5 minutes of action. And then you can forget about it because of all the other things that come into your mind that last longer than 5 minutes, you know?
Right. Just, right.
I do think if it's weekly, it's kind of still fresh in your head, but then like coming to watch this episode, I watched the previous one just because I wanted to kind of get myself back up to speed.
Yeah.
So I was like, I really don't kind of remember how it started. Like I remember it being better, but it's tough when it's a month away. So like if it was every week or if it was longer in every month, I think that would be good.
Well, you know, I fully agree. And like what a lot of people mm-hmm. are doing, I mean, I can give the example of the few people, J.R. Glenn being one. And if you've been around my community quite a bit, especially in the live streams, you've definitely heard J.R.'s name. Incredible guy, you know, huge mm-hmm. Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime fan. And he is watching the Chronicles when they finish. So he said, yeah, I won't be able to watch like the podcast episode tonight. I haven't been able to watch any of your content on it, which is fine. I'm just waiting until November. And then when all six episodes are done, then I'm going to go through and I'm going to watch all of them. And I said, that's a good idea. I said, that is how you should digest this product, because I think that's probably like the best way you can get bang for your buck. The only thing that sucks about that is you have to wait 6 months. You have to wait half a year to then just watch in terms of length. One episode, mm-hmm. maybe like an episode and a half of an anime episode. And like that is just tough, but that's the position yeah. we're in now. Dredge, I know you felt very positively about this episode. I know you were very positive about episode 3. I would love to know your thoughts on episode 4 here and just what the guys have also discussed with the product in general.
Yeah, I like that you left me for last. I'm very opposite of all four of you. I'm actually, you know, very not in terms of, I think the quality is good. I think the storytelling, I think all the stuff you said is great. I just think you're because of the situation we're in with the Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime, you are expecting way too much. It's as simple as that. And I mean this with all the love and respect, because I think Konami's been ridiculous in not explaining to us why there's no Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime, why we're not getting anything. I think that's the problem and why this makes it worse. But that being said, as I've said, this is a brand new animation studio, okay? You compare it to Pokemon Horizons, right? Pokemon Horizons has over 350 employees. Konami Animation probably has, if I'm being honest with you, 20, maybe, right? The thing is if I could get it more, I'd love to have more. So don't take it as that way. But my understanding is this is supposed to be a short, right? It is supposed to be a short, so we keep doing more. In the beginning, it was ridiculous. Sky Striker was ridiculous. 2 minutes is nothing. That was garbage. The second one was garbage because they just basically redid the other one. But with this, we're getting a storytelling. Dill, you literally at the beginning of your review of the second one, you said, I want two things from this. You got the two things, then you yet, and I love you for this, you were like, that's great, but I'm still going to complain, get upset and frustrated. But I think that's because we have no Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime. That's because we're missing... You know, 5 minutes a month isn't enough. I agree with you. But because of where Konami Animation is, I don't expect more from them. I really don't. Like, I'm glad it's improved in length. I'm glad the storytelling's gotten better. Cal made a great point. You don't need a narrator. You said that same thing, Dill. And I love it for that. My thing is, because of where Yu-Gi-Oh! Is, we're expecting Konami Animation to be like a bridge, a gallop, and produce, you know, monthly 20-minute episodes, which I don't think they're capable. I think they're showing they're capable of telling a story, which Nick T mentioned specifically. That's a great sign. And I do think that Konami Age will become bigger. I just think we're expecting too much too soon. That's just me personally on it. And am I happy that we're only getting 5 minutes a month? No, of course not. I'm not happy about it. But from where Konami Animation was to what they've done, I'm definitely impressed with that. So I know I went a little rant there, so I apologize.
No, that's
fine.
That's how I feel, because I feel like I'm definitely different in the sense that, like, again, and maybe it's because I'm trying to totally forget we don't have a Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime, which is not easy to do because, you know, we've had it for 25 plus years. So it's not easy to be like, oh, there's no Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime. This is still good enough, because realistically, it's not good enough. It isn't. But that being said, for what Konami Animation is, I think it is definitely a step in the right direction. I think by people seeing this, it's going to, you know, garner more attention, hopefully. They can get more employees, make the studio bigger. And build up to, oh, maybe after November, instead of them saying shorts are coming out, we're going to start with one 20-minute episode a month. Maybe that's what they're building to, right? That's the goal, right? As I've said, I think Konami Animation could possibly, you know, do a Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime down the road. So I think that's what they're building. So that's why I'm so high on it. I could be dead wrong. Some other studio could pick up Yu-Gi-Oh! 9 for next year, gets announced at Jump Fest, and I'd be so happy. Like, I don't need to be right about this. I just think that because of Konami Animation being as small and new as it is, I think that it's going to this is a great sign it's going to get bigger. So, but we'll see. You know?
No, it, I mean, it's well said, and that is why I wanted to save you for last. I mean, I didn't know if you still felt like very positive about the rollout side of it, which you do, which is fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's I know we agree to disagree on the studio thing. I completely get what you're saying because it is a new studio. It was founded only a year and a half ago. It's just being the way I view it is it's being funded and has the backings of a lot of money because Konami is a massive, massive company. But the information that me or you don't have is how much money are they actually willing to put into the studio? And so that's why it's a pointless debate. And we just agree to disagree there because neither of us can be proved wrong or right when it comes to that. And I think we both acknowledge that.
Agreed.
Yeah, no, I did. And you're right. I did say at the beginning of that reaction, I want two things. And they both happened. You're 100% right. And so, yeah, it does come off a little hypocritical now that I'm still criticizing them. But you know what? Sometimes you go in thinking you want something, and then even when you get it, you still realize, like, you know what? It's just – and that's why I said in my opening monologue here, like, unless one of those two things change, which is the episode length or the episode release frequency, I don't know if I'll ever be able to get really invested in this production. Mm-hmm. Even if everything else is great. And it's more frustrating for me because I have felt like the last two episodes were very, very good. So certainly from an intrinsical episode only standpoint, I agree with you that it's definitely a good sign after what was a disaster with Skystriker. Mm-hmm. But hopefully your thought of the production ramping up next year, possibly, does happen, and it could, and we just have no idea. We just don't know what the plan is. And sure, there's way more of a spotlight on this than if there was a regular weekly Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime, of course. That's another thing that's absolutely correct, and maybe that's not very fair for them to be put in that same, you know, microscope as a weekly running anime, but I it's just a lot of people, including myself, are gonna do it. Because it's not a substitute. And I mean, you've said that as well. It's just, it's not enough. I mean, you've said that.
It physically would be impossible to be enough, right? You're going from arguably what, 80, let's just say, pretend 80 minutes a month to 5 minutes a month. It's a fraction. It's one, it's 6% of what you used to get. It's nothing. It's scraps. And that's what I understand. But because you're comparing it, that's the reason it's like that. If we compare it as, this studio's never made anything, and they're putting out product, I'd be like, oh, this is great. Like, the great sign. Like, I'd invest in Konami Animation, right? Again, I wouldn't put – I'm not going to buy, but I'm going to throw some money in there. They have some definitely some promise. Yeah, and not the full caliber of buy, but, like, you can see – especially these last two, right, you know, storytelling. But, again, I understand. I'm trying to take away that comparison when it's nearly impossible for Yu-Gi-Oh! Fans to do that, right? We're used to getting so much, so I get that.
Well, yeah, I think if anything, that our discussion of this episode proves that, like, quality isn't exactly the issue. It's like the Chronicles as what it is now could be as good as we could ever hope for it to be, but it really just isn't enough.
Agreed.
It's not
Konami as a whole is not giving us enough. I think Konami Animation is doing a good job. Is that a better way to describe it for you?
That's Konami actually
not doing anywhere near what they should be. But Konami Animation, with the available funds they have, we don't know what that is. I have to assume it's not
totally
all the money.
You
can't invest all the money, and it's not making a lot of money. But Konami is doing their best with what they have. At least that's what I take it.
No, I actually really like – that's a very important and good distinction. Yeah.
Konami not doing a good job. Konami Animation over here in the corner are building.
Trying their hardest. They're doing good. Yeah,
that's
like
I guess
that.
I should word it like that. That may make
it no, better. But like I think it's part of the discussion. But like that distinction is extremely important and like and true. At least in my view.
I agree. I just don't think I'm trying to think of the right way to word this. I don't think that like negative about I guess like the idea of the Chronicles. It's more of just the simple fact of like, I'm not saying I expect the world of Konami Animation right away, but it's also it'd also be nice to have a little bit more. And I think it kind of mirrors the point of like Nick T saying, regardless of how good this is, right, it's not enough of that good thing to make it worth being like all in on.
Yeah, it'll never be a replacement until we get more.
Yeah, and I do think, to Dredger's point about being, you know, be patient with Konami Animation, because as they continue to grow, there's a good chance, you know, maybe they could put together the next Yu-Gi-Oh! Show, and they could, and they'll be the, you know, the team doing it, backed by the company that owns the IP. So, you know, you figure if they're going to do the anime, the funding will go up a lot. If they're like, okay, yep, you're doing the anime, you're going to make us money, boom, here's more funding, here's better quality, and now you get the normal length of an episode. And you know what? It would probably end up being seasonal, because like you said, in their, just in their size, it would be impossible for them, I think, to do a weekly. But give us 24 episodes a year.
Yeah, that's great.
24 episode season, cool, yeah. You give it to us once a year. Yeah, you have basically half a year of episodes and a half a year or not. But I mean, it's better than 5 minutes a month. Like, I would take it in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. So I think that, like, a realistic outcome with Konami Animation, if they were definitely doing the show, 2027 spring seasonal starts right there.
Jesus Christ.
That's honest. Like, if that's where it's going to go, and if they're only doing 5 minute stuff at least to November, gives them another year and a half from Jump Festa to get a show ready.
You said 2027. I want to make sure I heard you correct.
2027.
Okay.
Poor Dill, bro. Poor Dill.
In the spring.
You're going to have to get that calendar going for Dill.
Yeah. I'll be February for you.
Yeah. Cal, we're going to have to do something, man. I mean,
hey, I'm going to hit the gym twice as hard, man. I'll get some Yu-Gi-Oh! Cosplay outfits and we'll make the calendar.
The calendar was still one of the greatest ideas that came out of this podcast. And your main fear was, what if your boss walks into his daughter's room and his daughter has the calendar on her wall? That was your main deterrent as to why you didn't want that production to happen. For those that don't know, the calendar was going to be a calendar that we made here on the Yu-Gi-Oh! Everything channel. And it was going to be 12 pictures of Cal. So for like December, it would be him in like, you know, Christmas pajamas. The summer, you know, he'd be shirtless on the beach and the ocean. And there wouldn't be any nudity. It wasn't going to be like a nude calendar or anything. But your fear was that your boss's daughter would purchase this calendar from the Yu-Gi-Oh! Everything shop and would have it hanging up in her room. And that would, I guess, get you in trouble at work.
What's the percentage chance it's
such a ridiculous fear.
It's non-zero.
It's non-zero, but I just want to point out the fact that, like, listening to that back now from, like, you saying it, it's the most ridiculous fear of a reason to do the calendar ever. Like, that is such a dumb, like, I can't even say, like, oh, I made it up as a goof, because maybe me 6 years ago or whenever that was like,
he's worried.
You were worried.
That was my actual fear.
Well, who were you with at the time?
What?
Who were you? What were you still at? Were you already
at the same
company?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. Yeah. It was either that or at good old EY back in the day.
I was going to say, maybe like I can see you being a little bit more afraid of the presence there, given the culture.
Well, and the amount of, just the amount of people, because of how big the company is too.
That would have been good. Well, listen, if we're waiting until 2027, dude, which could be that. I mean, 2027, by the way, we joke around about, oh, the next anime is 2027. There's a reality where in 5 months from now, 2027 is best case scenario. Because five months from now is December 30th. Jump Festa will have come and gone. And if nothing gets announced at Jump Festa, 2027 literally becomes best case scenario. So for all the jokes we like to make about it, and all the fear, especially, you know, for Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime diehards, it's a concerning reality that we could be facing in literally less than 5 months. But, you know, I pray every day that won't come to roost.
We might get GTA 6 before.
The vehicle is battle. No, right now it's on pace for GTA 6. So
yeah, exactly.
Not realistically.
Well, maybe not. We could get an anime. Wait, is GTA 6 this year?
May of 26.
Okay, so if a Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime gets announced at Jump Fest, it would start in April 26.
Well, what if they go seasonal? Then it might not start in the spring. The start times might change, you know.
Maybe, but I think if it's seasonal, the most likely is still that spring start, and then it would just probably end in like
the fall.
Yeah. That's what I would assume. But dude, who the hell knows? I mean, we are in a really weird times. I'll never forget. I had friends over the night, and maybe it was WrestleMania. I don't remember when. The night that the first Chronicles episode dropped, and when it dropped, Pete was the only one that was still at my house, and Pete was like, "All right, how long was it?" And I go, "It was 3 minutes." And I'll never forget. Pete goes to me and he's like, "Dude, we can't do a podcast on this." I mean, there's no point. And he's not wrong. Like the only reason that we are doing any sort of like getting together and doing a podcast for the Chronicles being where they are is because there's nothing else. This is all we have.
Honestly, dude, if as what Cal says is right, the next time that we do a talking media podcast about a UU anime, my kid is gonna be on the podcast. That is the reality of it. Is 20.
It's a realistic possibility.
Like, that's a realistic possibility.
That's
2027,
dude.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Are you dropping news?
No, not at all. That is literally like. How many months away? Like 20 months away? What are you talking about?
Holy crap, dude. I genuinely, listen, we laugh about it. I genuinely do. I still have the passion and the heart, but I genuinely worry about how possible it is to have this channel run until then if we're really not getting anything.
Are you, still, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, please.
Are you wearing a Justin Durr shirt, like the Jets shirt, which is very fitting for this conversation?
I will stand up.
Does it say just expect to suck? Is that what it says on it? Oh, just endure the suffering.
That's very fitting for this conversation.
As I've said many times, whether it's sports, whether it's entertainment, I don't get any sort of, I don't get a lot of joy outside of, you know, reality.
Well, Dill, just 21 more months until the 2027 anime.
You know what's sick with you saying that too? There's no guarantee. Like if we can't put that into the ether.
There is no guarantee that it would even 2027 would even have it.
Let's just see what happens at Jump Festa, and then we can talk God. 2027 or you know nonsense. Dredger's kid will be on the first episode.
Yeah, maybe.
Start early, you know?
When Pete pointed at the shirt, I thought he was talking about a player named Justin Durr. I'm like,
there is Justin Fields. That'd be
a good name.
It would be a good name, especially
for that. Yeah.
And Michael Hawk is the right end.
I just thought I recognized. there was a Michael Hoyt that used to play that I guess you could pronounce as that.
I knew that one would get Nick Tate.
Oh god damn it, Jesus Christ.
All right, are we ready to get to some donations, some super chats?
Sure, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Okay, go Jets. Dark Emperor Jay, thank you for the $2 donation. Random video game question: which boss fight do you think has the best music? Great question. I'm gonna go Lady Maria from Bloodborne. That's always been probably my favorite boss fight piece. I'll try to think of a non-Souls one as well, but if one of you guys want to go.
I don't know if I have one off the top of my head. I'm thinking about this.
Off the top of my head, I don't think I have one.
Honestly, the final Bowser fight from Mario 64 and even the Bowser fight in Paper Mario 64 are both really, really good pieces.
Actually, oh, yeah.
The Super Smash Bros. Music at the end when you're fighting
with Master Hand. Yeah. That's a classic.
Oh, that one's really good.
It's a classic. Yeah.
Wait,
maybe a curveball of a type of final boss, but I think the music in like the Elite Four and the Pokemon games is sick.
Oh,
that's
a great one.
Oh, yeah,
I
like
love the music in that.
Cynthia's got a great theme. Yeah.
Yeah, like I feel like all the themes are great.
Yeah, I think that's in play. I think that's fair.
I do have one.
Really cool dancer, Cynthia.
It's so there's a bunch of iterations of it, but Sephiroth's from Final Fantasy's theme, One Winged Angel, is incredible. Like that's his boss fight theme, but there's a version of it in Kingdom Hearts 2 when you fight him that is like it goes crazy. So One Winged Angel for Sephiroth from Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, good pick. And I believe you're the only one here that's played that game. So yeah. That's even bonus points because that's one that none of us would have been able to say. So, yeah, so
oh, Skylar.
That's a good one.
Let's go, dude.
Pete, any come to mind?
I guess just recently it just comes to mind. I just did the Radahn fight, like the original one. When he's, you know, and that the music in that fight is pretty incredible.
Did you love running with everyone like towards Radahn?
It was ridiculous.
It's a great fight, dude. And it's not easy, even with the help of people. It's not easy. Did you beat it?
It was. Yeah, I beat.
Oh, good.
I think first try. I think I beat him.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's a not an easy fight, but yeah, I'll never forget the jar.
No, it's just weird, just because like you have like a gazillion people to summon, so it's I didn't even feel like I was doing much. I was like, all right, you know, you guys go to work.
Yeah, if you like really explore the world, you get more summoning signs, and you are very thorough in your exploration. So I remember I could only summon like two or three people, but I know you can summon. I know.
Oh, Doug, I had like I've done.
I think I had
like,
four, Dill, when I did.
Yeah,
it.
I've done like every quest line so far, like up to this point. So I think I had like nine people.
Yeah. See, that sounds like something you should have gone into the fight with.
Yeah, I literally like went on. I went on the hill and I just watched all my pawns just do the work. And I came in. I hit him. I think with like the final three shots, and it was it.
Pete knows how to do it.
Yeah, work smarter, not harder. I just remember one of the three guys I could summon was the jar. So you just got this jar running towards him.
I had him.
He got shattered pretty quick. But yeah, it was.
He's a funny guy, that jar.
Oh my god! I mean, Radahn's final theme as well in the Erdtree DLC is also incredible. Yeah, incredible piece. Cool. Anonymous, Dark Ember J, thank you for the donation. Anonymous, thank you for the $2 donation. Hey, Dylan and crew, what are everyone else's thoughts on the article you talked about last week? We have only heard from Cal so far. And, of course, this pertains to the article that I threw in the Discord with these guys that Calibur and Dak on last week's Talking Yu-Gi-Oh! Show confirmed is valid, is a real report, where one of the largest banks in the world wrote a stock advising report that's a paywalled report on Konami. I'm not going to say whether they said to buy or sell, but they, and we can't show it again because it's proprietary information, but they did write in that report that the two big catalysts over the next 2 years will be a worldwide launch of eFootball 2026, which I believe that also has not been like announced anywhere. So I guess that's something to watch for. Like if they announce that, that's probably an even better sign for the other catalyst that they are saying is going to happen, which is a quote Yu-Gi-Oh! Reboot. Did a whole video on it, talked about how vague that terminology is. Certainly nothing is confirmed by any means, but yeah, I mean, Dredge, I'll start with you, Anonymous, here wondering about, you know, kind of your thoughts on the report. First of all, if you can verify the report is being legit, I would appreciate it. And then of course what you take away from it, if anything.
Yeah, no, the report is 100% true. I saw it, so I can definitely say that. It's interesting. I mean, I think the better guy to ask, and thank goodness he was available last week for the podcast, was Cal. He works in that field. It's just as simple as that. Like, again, I didn't say specifically, but in general, he would know more, you know, general knowledge than I would have. But just that being said, definitely seems like they're promoting some stuff coming up. Definitely seems like it's a more positive than negative report. So definitely hoping the best. If Cal's predictions are right, though, you know, 2027 spring, Yu-Gi-Oh! 9 anime, here we come. You know, so, but overall, it's definitely a positive report. Again, I don't think you can, until we see that, you know, as you just said, if that new game they mentioned comes out on release in around that time period, then you could, that'll really, I think, give it a lot more legitimacy. But even though that being said, I do believe it's definitely positive for Konami as a whole.
Well, correct. And one of the people, because I sent the report to a few people in the community, because I was like, how do I, like, I need for like my chat and people watching to feel like it is a legitimate report and not just trust me, bro, even though I've never trust me, bro'd any sort of report in the 10 years I've made content. I'm like, well, the way I can do it is send it out to people. And I was talking to someone in the community, Solid Snack, about it. And you know, he said, like, he was very excited by it, but he said, this could also be nothing. I remember there was a thing in the Saw fandom Now we're talking about the horror, you know, movie Saw.
That
a stock call like this stated there would be a new Saw movie in 2024. There still hasn't been one since then, and the company that made that stock call doesn't even own it anymore, LMAO. So, again, this is written by, you know, people that are, like, that have access to information that we probably don't as the public, but they still are making predictions based on things that they've heard. You know, these sorts of reports have been incorrect in the past. Caliber, you kind of spoke to it as well. I mean, I know you, you know, already touched on it. I don't know if you have anything you want to add before I throw it to Pete and Nick T.
No, I just think that I wouldn't expect them to say something that they don't have some sort of knowledge or information.
It's not
on.
Baseless. Like, it's that while it might not happen, it's not baseless. I agree with that.
Yeah. Like it's not like they're saying, hey, this is definitely gonna happen, but you have to at least know, like, behind closed doors, there's been at least some talk about it, because you don't go out and say, you know, yeah, we're thinking something that, like, should be in the forefront for them is a Yu-Gi-Oh! Reboot. And now this isn't a conversation talking about, like, their international IP. Like, if that doesn't scream bringing, whether it be a show that's global or the game global, or so, like, there's something with Yu-Gi-Oh! That is going to be on a global scale that you would have to expect is at least being worked on or talked about going into production. That's the way I look at it, at least.
Right. And even if, like, you know, to play devil's advocate, something like this could happen where, hey, this bank has heard good things. But in August, literally in a week at the next big meeting, let's just say there's a meeting, they might say, ah, you know what, let's go down a different route with Yu-Gi-Oh! And then plans change. Like, that can also happen. So, you know, it's definitely a really good sign, at least to me. But how much you want to take from it, I think, varies person to person. Pete, I don't know if you had a chance to check it out, but if you had, would love to know your thoughts.
Yeah, I read the report. It's totally a real thing. I guess it's yes, you believe it because they have insider knowledge, basically, right? Like, this is typical, like, board meetings, stock trading. Like, you're going to have some view of the market and what you basically believe is going to happen based on a numerous bunch of metrics and factors that they have researchers and people look into to figure out what's going on. You have people that work or are journalists or people that are near these companies to, you know, kind of hear what's on the hot stove, right? So there's definitely credibility to it. That being said, if you want to look at, like, what Salasaka was saying with the Saw franchise, is like, the creative side of these companies can always shift direction. So that's where you have to be, I guess, for our purposes, fearful, because this could be a total real thing. Let's say, hypothetically, it's a Duel Monsters reboot, right? Like, that is what they meant. And then the studio could be sitting there, Konami, one day, and it's like, you know what? I don't really think that works. I think we should kind of preserve that, and maybe we look in another 2 years down this direction. So it could have been the plan, and then it dramatically shifts. I mean, these things happen quarter to quarter.
It can happen in one meeting. It can happen in a single meeting.
You're meeting companies all the time that don't even deal with entertainment, that deal with utility power is a field I work in. Like, these things change drastically, and they are based on an ever-changing and volatile market. And so while I have faith in it, and I think there is reason to have hope, I'm also not putting all my chips in the middle of the table.
Fully agree. It's something that I think should excite, you know, anyone who wants something more from Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime. And then the other thing too, right? Yu-Gi-Oh! Reboot also could, like, refer to the card game. I mean, I would be shocked by that. The card game's done very well, but, like, the term is so vague, it's hard to really, like, feel it's 100% something, right? Nick T, would love to know your thoughts on the report, if you've had a chance to check it out.
I have, yeah, I have. And one thing that stood out to me, on top of the projection of a Yu-Gi-Oh! Reboot, which, again, pretty vague wording that could mean a lot of things, especially because they talk about other types of properties, not just like shows. You know, they talk about Castlevania, they talk about two other games, you know, so, like, this is an exclusive to shows. So, like, a Yu-Gi-Oh! Reboot could not be referring to a show, even though it also could be. But another thing that stood out to me was them keeping eyes on the newly formed Konami Animation to take action was right. the way they worded it.
Right.
So like that, you know, could mean that things could ramp up for Konami Animation in some regard. Maybe that means.
What it definitely means, Nick T, is they don't feel that the Chronicles is even noteworthy to discuss in a grand scheme of whether you should be optimistic or pessimistic trading stock, which I thought was notable.
I would argue that, actually, because if it wasn't, it wouldn't be in the report.
What do you mean?
So it's mentioned in the report that they're going to watch Konami Animation, correct?
They're waiting for them to take action. They're waiting for them to do something.
You're so like negative. I would argue they could have just not put it in there.
It was a big studio that they opened a year ago.
Agreed. It's still a newly formed studio.
Well, yeah, it is.
If they really didn't think that Konami was doing anything, they would leave it out.
They would. I think his point is that,
especially if this is moving forward, right? Like the argument is in 2 years from now, a year and a half, they could just not mention it if they really had no faith in it at all.
I don't think
he's saying that. Yeah.
I think it's the wording, because I think what they're saying is they believe in Konami Animation, which is why they're mentioning it, but they're waiting for them to take action because what they're doing right now isn't something that has any effect positively towards people, like, you know, if they're gonna invest or they're not gonna invest or whatever.
That's a better way to word it. I
feel like the way that they were, like, the way it reads, right, is waiting for them to take action, which for somebody, a blind eye, maybe not into what's going on with the products, is saying, okay, so Konami Animation hasn't done anything yet. That's the way it reads.
Or rather, like, what we've seen is not a good representation of their capabilities yet.
Because they have high expectations.
Yep.
So that's how I believe in them, but they haven't. And if you're a blind eye, I truly think it reads that they're waiting for them to do something, which isn't necessarily maybe the right way to put it. But support Dylan's point, it makes it sound like they're not even considering the Chronicles a meaningful thing, I think is the way to put it.
Not yet.
But the animation studio, they're still positive on, which is why they mentioned them saying, we're waiting for them to take action, because if they put out something really, really good, or if Konami decides, hey, we're funding this a little bit more and we're going into a big project, they're going to be like, hey, keep an eye on Konami Animation, because if big project A comes through, this could be a very positive thing for the company.
It's fair.
Yeah, exactly. And as far as like the larger idea of it, like, so like with that being said, you know, cool. Maybe it's we get a reboot of something. Maybe it's just the wording's weird for both the Konami Animations and the Yu-Gi-Oh reboot. Fine. I think it's safe to say something is happening or going to happen, except for the fact that, not to be pessimistic at all, but I think when it comes to like investment documents and announcements or like projections a studio or company have given, it's hard to say whether that's anything actually tangible. Like Pete kind of mentioned, like, studios at any given moment could be like, oh yeah, we have every intention of making this, and either not, it just, we don't know anything about it, or making it and then dumping it and writing off the loss.
Yeah,
like we don't know. There's no way to know. So that's why, like, I'm hesitant when it comes to like financial documents, because like this could just be something that was announced at a shareholders meeting that could never come to fruition.
Well, yeah, and that's why I was when I made the video regarding it on Thursday, even in the opening monologue, I was very specific to say this is not confirmation of anything. This is a report. I think it's a good sign for a lot of reasons. It also could end up 5 years down the road, end up being absolutely nothing. It could have been a zero burger. Yep. But this is a real thing that was written in a paywalled proprietary report by one of the larger banks in the world.
Yeah.
The question now becomes, will there be actual follow-up, and what happens on the side of actually making something? And that's the ultimate question.
Unfortunately, when it comes to companies, no matter what their business is, you forecast things, you don't forecast at 100% accuracy, no matter what it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Whether you're trying to forecast the market, whether you're trying to forecast how much the company is going to have in debt, whether how much, trying to forecast your revenue streams so that maybe you could fund something big for Konami Animation, just in this example. All these things are forecasted based off like algorithms, but not reality. And reality, as you saw with COVID and the way the markets reacted, anything can happen that can change the entire landscape of everything.
Yeah, Dylan made a lot of money off that.
Well, hold on. Okay, I did not. I did not make money off COVID. I mean, that's a crazy thing to say. I
mean, people were trapped in their homes and they had nothing else to watch. I mean, oh, makes
I think Nick T's referring to AMC. Yes, I got very lucky with the AMC stock, but that was post COVID. That was like 2021.
Post COVID. Yeah,
when
I
that
guess.
Stuff happened.
But to Cal's point, yeah, nothing, you know, things can move in the way we're not expecting.
Yeah.
But with that being said, I think nonetheless that is an important document to what we're, you know, all of us here, like, hoping for and waiting for and projecting. And it's also, like, important in general. It's important. These types of documents are important just so that everybody as a society, we can look ahead and see what we might expect.
And if companies actually hit on some of the expectations, it makes them look a hell of a lot better too.
Exactly. So, like, they want to report correctly.
Yeah, like when you report these things, you never expect 100%. So like when stuff is wrong, you're not like, wow, they forecasted this, like, and nothing's right. Obviously, if nothing's right, you have problems. Like you should be in the ballpark of what's going on.
Yeah, but, somewhat at least.
But yeah, but like at the end of the day, it's like, wow, okay, like they promised this project and they delivered. It's good as a company, it's good as a fan of that company, it's good for the franchise and the IP of the show. Like everything kind of benefits from just a couple of things being right. It's like being a weatherman, you know? You're not gonna get it right every day.
Yeah, sometimes you just need a couple hits to be a good one.
Yeah, exactly.
They only send this report out to companies or people that do, I believe it's $100,000 or more in business with this bank every single year. You think those are the people the bank wants to screw over in their report writing?
No.
They're trying to make them money.
Exactly. Well, they're not. Mm-hmm. They are not putting in Yu-Gi-Oh! Reboot if they don't have the confidence behind it. So it's as simple as that. But now again, whether it happens, we'll say, but it's always
can I make a couple other points? So I thought, so something that it compares to it that I'm more familiar with in the world of like video games, like we do see this process in terms of kind of financial reporting mixed with a new studio being formed. So we see, let's take for instance, PlayStation and Sony itself, right? Mm-hmm. They go in, they buy a supposed really small, talented video game studio. They give them a decent-sized, well-known IP, but they have it scaled down to a level that maybe it's a smaller-sized game. It's not an open world. It's not anything full. They want to kind of see the work that they can do. They've seen work previously of knowing how talented these people are. Now they're getting to see them formed as a team together with a recognized IP. So I view Konami Animation in a lot of ways like that, where a lot of these people probably working there, whether it's 100 or whatever it is, they're very talented. They were hired for a reason. They've come from different projects probably all over the country, all over the world. Now they're being brought together to have, okay, this is a recognized IP that has a strong fan base behind it, but we're doing it on a really small scale here because we want to see what you can handle, how the production goes, what's the efficiency you have. And I think that comparison for me, like in seeing video game studios flourish like that and then becoming first party studios when they originally were third party ones and they get fully bought out 100% by Sony. And now they are their in-house project where it's like, you're getting our biggest IPs. You're getting Spider-Man or you're getting The Last of Us or you're getting stuff like that.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
And see the trajectory of when they say, hey, we're kind of keeping an eye on what they're going to do. It's like, hey, we know Konami's kind of thrown them a tiny bone, and now we just want to see what work actually pumps out of there. Could they handle a full show like Dredge thinks they're going to? Maybe. Even in these 5 or 6 minutes, let's see what kind of work they do. So that's kind of how I took that point.
Yeah, it's a very, very interesting comparison. Yeah. Can I touch on Pete's video game point for
a minute too?
Of course.
Not to shine on the negative side, because I actually do agree and like what Pete was saying. But we've also seen companies like that disappoint us with announcing things and them not happening. And he brought up The Last of Us. And remember the multiplayer video game that was supposed to come out?
You know,
you're really going to do that? You're going to do this right now?
I'm just saying that, as we were saying, everything that is reported until it's set in stone is not set in stone.
Correct. I'm still waiting for The Wolf Among Us 2. That's another one.
That's never going to happen.
Yes.
It's never going to happen.
So, you know. Well, it looks like Discord has frozen, so I've got to do that awkward thing of
we're canceling. All frozen except for you. Frozen.
All right, I'm gonna close Discord and then I'll reopen it up. No worries. Okay, we're probably off Discord now. We'll be back with the boys in 1 second. Listen, this is the joy of doing it remote. Sometimes technology does not want to like cooperate, and we should be back in about 5 seconds. Rejoining the call.
Yeah, I don't know. Hello.
Hey. All right, we're back.
Oh god.
Oh, but now my screen is
your green. Purple and green.
Yeah. Well, he's the Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, and the same orientation too. You got the purple pants and the green skin.
Okay, hold on. Let me get you guys back in.
And then now we're not there.
Yeah, Della, what's going
on?
Well,
I'll tell you, here's the issue. The only way to fix this, I believe, is to exit Streamlabs.
And wait, me and Pete,
you can't do that.
I can't do that. Stream. The stream would end. So sadly,
green and purple till the rest of the night.
Also, for some reason, Calibro and Pete's position switched.
Yeah, that's got to be you. That's got to be you.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen. This is going to be the tent that I'm in. It's unfortunate, but it's.
You sure this isn't a like a camera issue?
I'm positive. I mean, I'll turn the camera on and off. Let's see if it fixes it. I don't think it will.
Good luck. Camera may not turn back on.
Yeah. No. It's a Streamlabs thing. Streamlabs has to close out.
Classic Streamlabs.
Oh well, that's fine. Listen, I can continue like this. So.
I don't know if I can look at this guy.
What do you mean, man?
The only other point I was going to make before that happened was I thought in the report it was interesting, too, when they mentioned the eFootball thing. And my mind immediately went to, well, wouldn't they release that alongside maybe the World Cup that's next year? And so I was like, does that tell maybe a timeline of when they think that would come out and when a Yu-Gi-Oh! Reboot, quote-unquote, would come out? Would it be at the same time? Right. Would it be in that fall of that year? Would it be the following spring? So I just thought, like, that kind of little timeline they laid out, I thought was fascinating as a possibility.
Go
ahead, though.
No. I agree with you, Cal, and or Pete, excuse me. And I did fix myself. I just had to deactivate and activate. I think that could be true, Pete. And I believe even in that report, obviously, we're not going to read like a lot of specifics of it, but they do mention the World Cup as being like a reason for like when that might launch and why it might have continued success. And remember, this report is for 2026, 2027. So the reboot plan for Yu-Gi-Oh! Could be 2027. It might not be 2026. I pray to God that's not the case, but like we really don't know. Calibro, would love to hear what you had to say.
Oh, you know, so what I was going to say with Pete is, so if they're going to release it for the World Cup, you would think they'd want to release it either right before it or right after it, right? Because you can release it with the hype of the World Cup coming, which is probably how you would want to do it, which would mean spring of 2026, because the World Cup is in 2026 in the summer.
Right.
So if they're on the same timeline, that would then have your mind at least really feeling the copium and the hope for Jump Festa, because that would be a good time to announce something like eFootball coming out in, say, March or April. And then that's the same time that a typical Yu-Gi-Oh! Card game anime would come out. So timing-wise, if you want to get your hopes up for 2026, it does kind of fit.
Yeah. I mean, it's
copium for sure.
It's not me. It's not me just getting my hopes up. It's me putting every hope and prayer and
you're like
your livelihood's on the line.
Sure. Yeah, sure. I mean, listen, we joke around 20 months of no Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime, and that's best case scenario after Jump Festa. That's going to be tough for me. It's going to be tough for this channel. I'm just being honest.
You're going to be on some kind of watch after that.
I thought you were going to say it'll be tough for my family.
Well, let me.
Oh my god.
Let me just say this. I'm putting it all on the line at Jump Festa.
Yeah.
I'm putting it.
Are we all being there for that? Are we all like? Are you having a thing again?
I am having a thing. The only
I will be there.
The only person that I don't think is coming is from the main five here is Dredge, but he's 50-50 now. But I mean, Pete and Nick T, you guys think you'll be good for it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I should be good.
Perfect. So then Dredge, well, hopefully you can make it.
We'll see.
But. Yeah, that's going to be...
I don't know. It doesn't sound like it's going to be very fun, man. See, it's doom or gloom.
What are you talking about? Well, yeah, but like,
what do
again,
you mean? It's doom or gloom.
It's like watching your team in the Super Bowl, but if they lose the Super Bowl, they can never play the football
again. No. You can't compare this to being a Super Bowl.
I don't think that at all.
We don't even know if we're in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, wait, no. But
you're just assuming we are.
His follow-up was, we're in the Super Bowl, and if they lose, they can never play football again.
No, I think a more apt comparison would have been a WWE match. If you lose, you retire.
Yeah. Championship or retirement stipulation, of course.
Yeah, there you go.
You're very much in the boat for that one.
But also, Dredger, to your point, I think it could be very fun. It really just all depends on how much you want Dylan to fail.
No, it has nothing to do with that. Like, it has nothing to do with my
no, it
my
does.
Opinion. No, it really doesn't. My opinion has nothing to do with it. I have all the hope in the world for Dylan. I mean, I hope the best for him. I hope that this does get announced. But let's be honest. Has Jump Festa's track record been very good?
We've never. No. I would argue we've never had a good Jump Festa in person.
Yeah.
I would argue it.
I was happy we had a show when Sevens came out.
Yeah. I was excited.
I wasn't there for that, I don't think. Was I?
You guys were. And that's actually very true. I do remember that. You guys were.
I had to hold it down while you were laying on the ground on the other side of the basement.
I was shell-shocked.
I don't think I was there for sure. I definitely wasn't, so it wasn't me.
No, you were. That was 2019. Yeah. So, yeah, no. But
I want to say for the record also, Cal, I don't know if people are listening to us, but when you spoke negatively about Naughty Dog, the stream just broke. So,
oh yeah, you're right.
A future thing to watch out for, but I just wanted to.
That's like watchdogs coming at us, you know.
Yeah.
Whoa. The
watchdogs coming at us through the technology. Sorry,
it's a good point. No, they may have come at us. It wouldn't shock me at all.
But Dill, if you had 20 months to wait, you could just rewatch every single Yu-Gi-Oh series up until that point. Just do the watch alongs a little slower, you know.
Well.
He would find content. He would find content.
Yeah.
Showing Dredger's child Yu-Gi-Oh for the first time. That video will come out before.
How old do you think Dredger's kid will be in 2027? If he has one, newborn. So what is Caliber talking about?
No, newborn. No, she'll be.
It's gonna be a honeymoon baby. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Like 7, 8 months old, maybe.
No shot.
But, you know, it could be a good opportunity, Dredge, to just teach your kid Japanese right off the bat, like from
that's
the
probably
rip.
A good idea. It's actually,
for
grow them
5 years are the most malleable to learn another language. It's true. Right off the rip.
Yeah.
I mean, that would mean I have to learn it too, though. So that sounds like a lot of hard.
You could do Duolingo together.
Oh, yeah, but your child could also teach you while you're learning. While they're they're learning.
I don't know if my brain's still gonna work by then. We'll see.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's a long time away. That's like a year and a half away.
I don't know if it's gonna still work that good anymore.
Oh geez, man. Listen, we'll figure it out. We have a couple of super chats.
We were in the middle of that, wasn't it? That was all about the reports,
and then Caliber mentioned 2027, and Jump Fest is getting out.
Got scared.
Am I crazy to say I almost hope Jump Fest never comes? Am I crazy to say that? Because you get it.
You can always have the hope that there could be something.
Exactly.
But in the actuality, there's nothing.
Pete is 100% right. Right now we're in this zone, and we will be for the next four months and 2 weeks where, like, hey, it hasn't happened yet. Like, it's still something great could happen. The reality of another Jump Fest coming and going with no anime announcement is really going to be devastating for me. All jokes aside, it's going to be tough if that happens.
You don't want the dream to be over. You don't want the dream to be over.
Okay. How I used to treat when I got grades. It was just like, I mean, I could have done well on that test, and then the actuality that you didn't, and it's like, well,
right, and then you get like a 70.
Way worse than the hope that I could have done better.
And then you get like a 73, and you have a sigh of relief. You're like, oh, I thought I really bombed that one.
73 is a sigh of relief. All
right. I mean, so let's continue with the donuts because Dill's school is a terrible conversation.
So
we don't want to hear that.
We got a $5 super chat from Ice Aiden.
Ice Aiden. Bum 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 bada bum bum. Thank you, my friend. Thank you.
Nice. Hello, Yugi Bros. This was the best episode so far, which isn't a high bar, but still better than the rest.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. I mean, that hit the nail on the head with that one.
Did anyone prefer any of the first three more?
The
third episode, the first one of Branded wasn't terrible.
No, it wasn't.
But I just didn't care.
Episode two, you know, that was really the one.
He was taking dab rips before he watched it.
I wish, man. It would have been a lot more interesting.
That's how we can get weird to watch.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Poor Weedman, man.
Yes. Thank you, Ice Aiden.
I forgot that he told us about the Amsterdam thing. So like when I saw him story of there, I was just like, yeah, I mean that makes sense.
Checks out.
Yeah, he was there for like 3 weeks.
He went to Tomorrowland.
It was like 10 days. Like 10 days, I think.
So he stopped in Amsterdam
talking to us about that. I just like forgot about it until I saw the stories again, and I was just like, of course.
Yeah, he did Amsterdam, then he went to Tomorrowland, then he went back to Amsterdam, and then he left.
That guy is the best like vacation plan in the world.
I know, he's well-traveled. Yeah. Well, the only message I got from him was a picture of a DoubleTree hotel with the caption, thanks, bro. That's all.
That's hilarious.
The only thing I got, so I'm assuming he used.
That is amazing.
Oh.
Oh, I love that.
He used your reward points.
Yeah, thanks, Weir. Appreciate it.
Thanks, bro.
Ice Aiden, thank you so much for the super chat.
Yes, we got a $2 super chat from Sean Gilbride.
Sean Gilbride, my man. Thank you, Sean.
Sean said, it's time to do not duel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know when we're going to have another anime where we could say duel. It is weird just in the essence as well, having a Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime without the actual card game, without actual dueling, without Yu-Gi-Oh! It's a Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime without Yu-Gi-Oh! I would argue. And like that concept is weird.
Yeah, without Yu-Gi-Oh! As we know it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's lore on the cards. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, to your point, it's weird to see. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, it's weird. Sean Gilbride, thank you, my man.
Thank you, Sean.
Yes.
We got a $5 super chat from Goose.
Thank you, Goose.
Goose. And Goose said, love this episode. Gonna throw this into the ether. Sending positive vibes and kindness to everyone and keep things PG. Positively Goose.
Goose, thank you so much for the super chat.
Before we move on, I wasn't here last week, so I don't know if this was addressed, but if I'm not mistaken, Goose's birthday was the other day. Did you guys bring that up? Did you guys sing to him?
We did not.
I sent him a text.
Would you like to sing? Can Goose confirm he's here?
I think it was between this Wednesday and last Wednesday.
Yeah, it wasn't right, on a podcast day. Yeah.
No,
I know it wasn't, but I wasn't sure if you guys would have, brought it up. Like,
I think it was Sunday, I want to say.
I think it was Sunday. So
I don't know if Goose is still here. He might be working because when I streamed earlier today, he came in and said he was at work. If Goose is still in chat, we'll sing for him. I think that's fair. You know what?
Yeah, that's a
good guy. He'll probably watch it back. How about we just sing for him?
Yeah, sing for him anyway. All right. I like it.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Goose. Happy birthday
to you.
Happy birthday, Goose.
That was coming so bad.
I'll tell you, remote, it's brutal. Remote.
The timing is
no, it's brutal because
you didn't count us off.
I stopped singing at one point.
Dylan, you didn't. You don't count us off, but you also change the tempo with every verse.
Every time.
So remote, it's so much harder to catch up. Whereas like in person, whereas in person you're doing it, we can kind of like echo you since we're all in the same room.
You guys usually follow my conductor hands very well. When
we can't see them in real time.
I'm aware that's the issue. That's the problem. Yeah. That's why the happy if people want the happy birthday singing, we'll give it to them, but it's not going to be good. You know, that's as simple as that.
Hey, that's fair. That's fair.
All right. We'll
you know, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the effort.
We'll do what we love can. You, Goose. But Goose, we do love you. Thank you so much. Boys, listen, I mean, we're like, I know we're kind of on the shorter side, but there's really not much else to go into. I mean, we talked about the episode. Yep. We talked ad nauseum about the kind of breaking speculative news, I guess you can call it, with the old report. You know, we're done with here super chats and donations. Huge thank you to everybody that donated or super chatted. I don't know if there's anything else you guys want to touch on before we kind of go into our outro here.
I don't think so.
I think we're good, actually.
Yeah, I mean, long live Yu-Gi-Oh, you know?
Yeah,
that's
long
it.
Yeah.
Long live Yu-Gi-Oh! And by the way, for those wondering if there's really anything before Jump Festa that is going to potentially lead to some announcement, my answer would be no, with an asterisk. There is that anime New York City panel with Kenjiro Suda, voice of Kaiba, and that random Yu-Gi-Oh! Producer that's going. And it was announced that they are Saturday's main stage. They are the main stage for Saturday, and they're doing a Duel Monsters 25th anniversary panel where they're going to be giving insider stories and behind-the-scenes stuff on DSOD, which was the recent movie. I say recent, it was 10 years ago. And the Duel Monsters anime. So that is really, really fun in of itself.
Did you reserve for that?
No, I think starts August 7th, right? Or August 6th.
Yeah, I think it's the 6th. I think it's Wednesday at like...
Make sure you're on right away and do that.
Yeah. Peter, you go into that? I know you were interested.
Yes, sir.
Let's go. Freaking go. I didn't know if you actually bought tickets or not. That's awesome.
Yeah, me and Space Cowgirl will be there.
Awesome.
Let's go.
Love it. That will be very fun. Yeah, there's a lot of people I know from the community going. So if you see me, if you see Pete, please come up, say hi. It would be awesome.
Please do.
But yeah, that is going to be a very, very fun panel. And of course, could something be announced? Sure. I would say it's probably unlikely, but you know, if you really believe in the DM reboot, maybe they'll throw some sort of bone there, but I'd be stunned if something got announced not in Japan. Although, fun fact, the last Yu-Gi-Oh! Movie, Dark Side of Dimensions, was announced in America before it was announced in Japan. Probably a piece of information that a lot of people don't realize or remember, but that is true. So it wouldn't be like totally unprecedented, but we'll see. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you guys all so much for being here. I want to thank the four men here to my below and to my left. Huge thank you to Dredge, Pete, Cal, Nick T. Dredge, we'll start with you. Then we'll go to Pete. We'll work our way kind of up down. Huge thank you to the guys. Huge thank you to you guys. Dredge, would love to know anything going on in your world.
We're at twitch.tv/Dredgenator doing some Nuzlocke. Got a Pokemon Black and a Yu-Gi-Oh! Fire Red ROM hack. Nuzlocke going on. Feeling promising about both, so we'll see how that goes. But I might be streaming this week. I don't know. I have a very August is a busy month, so we'll see what we can do. But we're gonna try to find some time to stream for sure. But Pete, what you got going on?
Yeah, I'm over on YouTube, Clueless Gamers. Less than a month till my football podcast with my friend Brian, First and 10, comes back.
Let's go.
I'm super excited to talk some NFL football again, and there's a lot to dive into. And yeah, as always, follow me on Twitter, PeepaCarrot21.
Always.
Yeah, I don't really have too much to promote. I'm Cal Breezy on Twitch, is CalBreezzy. I streamed a couple weeks ago with Dredge and Dak. We played some Phasmophobia, which was really fun. So now that work is starting to simmer down a little bit, I may have some more nights where I'm available to hop on streams and do stuff. And watching Dredger do Nuzlocke has made me kind of want to do my own. So
do it. We'll see if I can
lock into one of those. I'll have to ask you some questions on the setup and everything. But I think that might be in the works.
Cool.
Love Hell it. Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I don't have a ton right now, but Fragile Homes did just submit our most recent EP for mixing and then mastering. So I want to say in the coming months, most likely October, you'll get new Fragile Homes. Nameling, you know, whenever I have the album, I'm looking to put it out in the fall. And then Mom Fight, you know, maybe in the fall as well. So be on the lookout for all that stuff, whether it's merch, music, shows, whatnot. I'm hoping to do a lot more of that after wedding season here. But be on the lookout.
What are we talking about? There's no wedding season.
I have a wedding this weekend, the following, and then one a month from then. And then after that.
And Duff.
Hey, Nick T.
Yeah. Cal gets it.
I had back-to-back weddings the last two Saturdays, and then I got one next Saturday.
Here we go.
Yeah, you're...
But people nobody's expecting anything from you.
What?
Oh, my
People God. Are expecting things from me, and I'm, you know, too busy to deliver.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't expect anything from me. So, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
Exactly. Okay. anyway, be on the lookout. Go stream or purchase all of my music that's everywhere. Fragile Homes, Nameling, Mom Fight. Anywhere you could stream or purchase music, it's there. So your support means the world to me. Your financial support helps for future projects come out. So, and yes, the Space Cowgirl, there will be merch soon.
Yay, merch.
Cool, man. Well, Dredge, Pete, Cal, Nick T, really, really want to thank you guys for coming on and helping me out with the show tonight. Natalie, one final super chat before we head off. Pete, I rewatched JJK. Ghetto was right. And Pete got his...
He was.
Dredger, in interest of either continuing for another 45 minutes or ending the show, is there anything you want to say in response to that?
I'm looking forward to the return of JJK season 3.
Dredger, I respect your opinion on this matter.
There was one time at... my house where we had like 10 or 50, good. There were a lot of people over, and I was in, I started upstairs in the main floor, and Pete and Dredger started their debate on whether Ghetto was right or not. And I went downstairs into the basement with someone, and like 30 minutes later, I still heard them yelling at each other about it. Yep. And I'm like, are they still freaking talking about this?
It's a really good debate. Like being honest, you can argue, like, I'll even say you can argue for both sides. Like, you definitely, you can make an argument that either of us is right and neither of us. So it was definitely, what's he got? What's he pointing out, too? More ghetto stuff? Do we really?
Oh,
really,
my God.
It was right.
Now we're in a good old size off.
The beauty of the remote podcast is I can now show off all of my goodies.
Yes, you can. And now Dredger's gonna be showing off his stuff. Now we're in a good old fashioned. Who's got the larger statue?
Gotta get the Funko Pops because we have to play this game.
Should I go upstairs and get my Gojo here. Statue or what? Yeah,
Dredger's got it. More Funkos than me.
That's not true.
Anybody
seen? You know what's funny? It's just funny because Dill goes, Dredge, you can make this keep going. I proceed to let it go, and then Dill continues.
Has anybody seen a Funko of mine since I have moved here?
Because you don't have them set up.
Yes, I have.
I may have sold them all.
I don't believe that.
You did sell them all.
I may have sold them.
No, you didn't.
Oh, dude, the Ong rules.
You're full of it.
Right? Sweet.
That's a cool one. All right. But yeah, that just a funny story there, Natalie, because Pete and Dredger have gotten into that debate about Ghetto for for a long time now. And these debates have lasted for sometimes an hour. And it's the funniest thing. And when they're going at it, you just got to let them go at it. Like, there's been times where Caliber's tried to get involved and they both just say, shut up, dude. Like, there's no room.
That's probably right.
No room for anyone else to get involved. Like, you just got to let them go at it. And it's at the end of the day, man, it's just two men arguing over who's right. And that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Natalie donated twice more. Dredger's like, oh my God, I thought we were done. Natalie, thank you for the $2 $5 super chats. Also got a new anime crush. Dazai from Bungo Stray Dogs is hot. I love that show so much. Did Uncle Wayne show up? Uncle Wayne did not show up. Has anybody here seen Bungo's Stray Dogs? I don't think so.
No.
Nicole has. Okay. That felt like a Nicole anime. Yeah. I've
apparently it's very good.
I've seen the opening. Karuta Hey Kids, right? Is the opening, the second opening of that
you're
song.
Asking the wrong person.
Well, maybe you'll know it if you hear it. Karuta Hey Kids.
Stop.
I believe Jesus. That's BSD opening too, but I don't know.
Oh man,
sure.
I was getting ready to jam.
Well, it's a great. The Oral Cigarettes, I believe, are the band that performs that song.
I don't know why I wasn't.
I'm watching Vigilantes, but
hearing you talk is like an oral cigarette.
Oh my god. Yo, it's not an After Dark. We gotta end this quick. We're gonna go off the rails here. I can tell. We're all losing it.
What the hell, man?
Oh my god.
That was crazy.
What is it like every time you have a cigarette, it's like 11 minutes off your life or something? So every time you hear Dylan talk,
you're just losing minutes, bro. You're losing hours.
All right.
I'm dying.
You got more donuts. Keep going your donuts.
Oh, yeah. Natalie, thank you for another $5 super chat. Greatly, greatly appreciate it. Dylan, I hope you make a video. Top 10 Yu-Gi-Oh! Husbandos. Zuijo and Akira are fine AF. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I would be the best person to make that video. I think we maybe bring on someone like Nina and Christina, let them kind of...
Oh, they would crush it, actually.
Yeah, they've expressed interest in doing a top 10 daddies list in the past. Yu-Gi-Oh! Daddies, I will specify. And, you know, maybe that's something we'll kind of bring them in for and kind of, you know, get some girl power on the channel and have them let them have some fun with that list. So definitely not saying
girl
no to
power.
That, Natalie. And Natalie also, well, Natalie is, listen, she's into it right now. Thank you for the $2 super chat. I will say Gojo and Nanami are effing hot. Dredger, your thoughts on that?
Yes.
that's our guys, dude. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Yeah.
I just said yes. Yes.
Good looking men.
Pete, do you think Ghetto is more attractive than Gojo?
I think it's a matter of perspective. I think they're both good looking men, but I think they're vastly different in terms of their physique. So it depends on your preference.
It depends on your type. If you're a big eyes guy, remember Calibra would always talk about like eyes. That was...
Yeah. Brittany. I remember that. He would always bring up Brittany.
Okay, well, I've gotten two of the five people to leave. I don't think they're coming back. All right, oh my god,
that's simultaneous.
That was did you guys plan that?
Wait, that was great.
That was insane.
That was amazing. That was AI.
I watched it as I sat down, and we both sat down at the exact same time.
Well, chat for those watching. The jig is up. Calibro is literally to the left of where Dredger is sitting. And literally, they're roommates. They share a place.
Dredger, you want to switch seats?
That'd be crazy.
I wish I had the magical ability to pull.
You just see me come running up the stairs in the background.
And then you see me hop on your setup. No, actually, no, who would that scare more? Nick T, Dylan P.
Yeah.
Because they'd be like, wait, know you. How did that just. Everyone else kind of be like, dude. Oh, it's possible. Like, it happened.
Yeah,
it's not. But we know the truth.
You do.
WKTT, we know the truth.
Natalie's reminding me of the old Matthew Kennedy days. Yep. The stream ain't ending anytime soon. Natalie, thank you for another $5 super chat. Seriously, very, very appreciative of it. I totally don't agree with Ghetto because I thought he was fine in JJK Zero. So interesting. Natalie... agrees with Ghetto because she finds him hot. Pete agrees with Ghetto because he agrees
like a moral
with Ghetto.
Standpoint.
Yeah, from a moral standpoint.
I don't agree with his methods outright, but I understand his perspective.
His ideology,
me and Pete agreed that is the truth. Like it was the way he went about it was wrong. But if you really think about his goal, yeah, his ideals aren't totally off.
It's like Thanos.
So wait, if you guys are, okay, if you, right. wait, no, hold on. If you guys are all kumbaya
Dylan, I want to go to sleep.
But you've debated this for 55 minutes before at my house, and now is that the character development? Now you're just kind of agreeing with what
Pete's... 31 years old. I'm tired. I worked all day. So yes, there's arguments. I'm like, eh, it's not worth it anymore. Whatever. It is. Like, I'm 31, dude. Like, come on, brother. Ay, ay, ay. I love how he's dying laughing. Everyone's dying because we all think, man. I guarantee every one of these people on this screen have had an argument with a significant other, a friend, and just go, yeah, it ain't even. You know what, man? You're right. You're like, you just give it up. It's just not worth it. It's not. But in defense of the character development you asked me about, yes, I have seen the side of Ghetto, and I do understand his reasoning at least. So.
I think also, the discussions we had, we came more to.
We really did.
We both were.
He's blowing out of proportion because it was for comedy purposes. You know?
Well, yeah. It was like they were great debates, and I mean, it would feel like you were in one of those shows where the whole house was rumbling when those debates were happening. Oh, I mean, it was insane. Even DJ was like, "Wow, these guys are going crazy right now."
No, okay, no. We're not going there.
Nope, that's something, bro.
We are not going there.
Yeah, that's bro.
All right.
Yeah, that's how you know.
Yeah,
that one I can't let slide.
The DJ mentioned, yeah. All right. No, listen, I want to thank all of you guys for coming here. Natalie, thank you so much for the very generous super chats at the end. Natalie with another super chat.
Faster, Dill.
Natalie, you are driving Drudger crazy right now. Natalie, thank you so much for the $5 super chat. He's like Revolver. You can blame 6-year-old liking the cult leader Pluto from MFB for the reason why I like Ghetto. Nick T, your thoughts?
I don't know.
Does Natalie mean FMB, Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood?
I don't think there's a character named Pluto in Full Metal.
That's FMAB.
Yeah.
Is Pluto in FMAB?
No.
What does MFB stand for?
No clue.
I'm sorry, I don't know.
I'm not in the anime world like that. I don't know.
I don't know what MFB is. If you wait just long and... Oh, Metal Fight Beyblade.
Oh, okay. Metal Fight Beyblade.
Nick T, your thoughts?
I've never seen it. But we all love a good charismatic cult leader.
Okay.
That's all I got to say about that.
I think you
can. And I hope you have.
That's the line of the episode.
I think Pleading the Fifth may have been better than Nick T. No,
that's what I usually do. That's my go-to.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. All right. Natalie, I wish we could say more about it, but we've never seen Full Metal Metal Fight Beyblade. We've never seen it.
Type something fast enough about JJK, she could keep us on, so we'll see.
Natalie, seriously, thank you so much. Man, what's to say? What to say?
I swear to God.
He is calling for another
video. Okay. All right.
Dill, are things that desperate? That
we're oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Whoa.
Yes. Natalie, thank you. Okay, Natalie, seriously. Now I feel like I have to cut Natalie off because she's being too generous. Right, Natalie,
thank you
for the $2 super chat where you used a Hey You sticker. That's usually time.
Oh, that's really cute.
That is very cute, but it's time to wrap it up. Natalie, thank you so much. Thank you to everybody watching, everybody who commented at home, everybody who listened. Pete, Cal, Dredge, Nick T, follow them all. All their stuff is linked down below. Huge thank you to them. This concludes the Chronicles Talking Yu-Gi-Oh! Episode 4. She's got that Dogmatica in her. Thank you all so much for watching, and I hope you have an amazing day. Take care, guys. Have a great night.
Goodbye.